Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord in the room and around the world. What they owe us. What they owe us. If I could draw your attention to verse 17, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Again, I keep doing this, but again, I'm giving us an opportunity to examine a moment in which somebody has an encounter with God as God is on his way somewhere. I've been saying this for the last several weeks. I don't know about you, but a part of what gives me peace is saying God's doing something. God's about something. God is after something. The Lord is not just sitting around chilling, waiting for us to come to him. The Lord is actually moving. Can you sense his movement? God is moving. When we look at the life of Christ, the Lord is on his way somewhere. Christ is on his way somewhere. That movement of Christ, the traveling of Christ, the consistent movement of Christ to me is a sign that God has a way of doing things. And I like the way he do what he do. And he's not standing still. He's on his way somewhere. God is on his way somewhere. The church, his body, the body of Christ is on its way somewhere, and we are all of us trying to have encounters with God as God is on his way somewhere. I've been saying it. We're trying to have an encounter with God. I keep examining stories in which people are having encounters with God because I keep asking this question, and I'll throw it on the screens for you, and that is, anybody want to have an encounter with God? Anybody want to have an encounter with God? Anybody realize God is moving and you're trying to have an encounter with him? While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Lord is moving. God is moving. Clearly the church is moving. Clearly things are happening that are outside of our control. Clearly God is on his way somewhere. And I'm saying, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. Do not. Do not pass me by. Why? Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, don't pass me by. While your movement, God, in your movement, can I have an encounter with you? Can I phrase it another way just to get as many comments and as many waves as I can in the room and around the world? Anybody need to have an encounter with God? I need him to look in on me. I need him to look at your business. I need him to look at your marriage. I need him to look at my teenagers. I need him to look at them. I don't just want him. I need him. Oh, I need him. Are we at that place yet? Have we come to the place as a country in which we can say, Lord, we need you? Lord, we don't. It's not just nice. We don't want to just be able to say the Lord was in the service. No, we need, Lord, we need. We don't want to just be able to say it just so we can brag about how anointed the service on it. Surely the Lord was in the, no, no, no. Lord, if you don't show up, what are we going to, Lord, if you don't step your foot in the middle of this country, we don't know what we're going to do. We have looked at everybody. We have listened to everyone. We have listened to doctors and scientists, and we are spiked. God, if we ever needed the Lord before, surely we need him right now. We don't just want an encounter with God. We need an encounter with God. I'm desperate. Anybody desperate? Anybody desperate? Anybody at a point where we're like, oh, no, I'm desperate. Lord, I'll do whatever is required. I'll become even more undignified than this. You ain't seen nothing yet for what I'll do to get God's attention. I'm desperate. It's how this encounter starts. This encounter starts. And I want you to bear with me because this particular passage of scripture has three phases, and I want to try to deal with all three phases in these 35 minutes. So give me your attention really quickly. Let me help you, and let me get you to deal with phase one. Phase one is the encounter, and the encounter starts with God moving. God on his way somewhere. I keep making the point. People keep missing it. Last Sunday, as I got in the car and drove back, pastors are calling me, asking me, Pastor Andy, give us your diagnosis. What do you see? What's going to happen? Will the church ever be able to go back? And my response was, don't say back and God's name in the same thing. That's not how it's going to work. We're never going to get God to rebuke this storm talking about going back. God is on his way somewhere. God is moving forward. When they were in the boat, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Then he went up and went to sleep. Storm comes up. They say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he gets up, rebukes the storm, and says, where is your faith? He didn't rebuke the storm because they were scared. He rebuked the storm because he's on his way somewhere. If they had said, Lord, Master, wake up, because we got to go back. The Lord didn't rebuke the storm for them to go back. The Lord rebuked the storm because his mission was to go to the other side. He said, look, we have saved we have healed, we have delivered, we have done what we were supposed to do on this side. Now, it is time for us to get into the vehicle and go to the other side, because there's work to do on the other side. God is moving. Oh, my God. God is moving. I don't want to belabor the point, but God is moving. This story begins with Jesus on his way. As Jesus started on his way, as he is moving, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. God is moving, and somebody's running to catch up. I don't know when the last time you ran to catch something. I don't know when was the last time you ran to catch something. God is moving, and the Lord is about to go, and this young man comes running. He does not want to miss the Lord before he goes on to the next place. He comes running. It makes me think, when was the last time you ran to catch something? When was the last time that happened? And when I think about running to catch something, it reminds me of back in the day when I was raised in the city, running to catch the bus. I don't know if you've ever done it. I don't know where y'all are from, wherever you may be watching. I don't know if you ever run to catch a bus before, but you want to catch the bus, especially in the winter, because you don't want to have to stand out there in the cold trying to figure out when is the next bus going to come. Oh, I need a witness. I got some New Yorkers in here with me. I need a witness. You don't want to miss that. You see that bus, and you look at if you with your girl, she better be able to run, because y'all going to grab your bags, and y'all are going to run. I don't know if you've ever been on a bus and seen people get on, and they're trying to find their change, and they're trying to find their pass, and I've done it. I've run to catch buses. I spent my teenage years taking public transportation to get to school and running to catch a bus so that I won't be late. I don't have time to wait for the next visitation. My God, I don't have time to be here waiting for the next time you pass. I don't have time. This is a moment in time. I don't have any time to waste. I'm going to run to catch that bus. That's what comes to mind. If I want to think about something more recently, I think about times in which my flight has got delayed and I'm connecting through somewhere and I'm running to catch my next flight. Somebody got to be with me. I don't want to miss this connection. My next flight is taking off at 1:40. I done landed at 1:15. I'm in someplace like Atlanta. Atlanta. I done landed in Gate B. I got to get on a trolley. I got to get on a tram that takes me to D. And when I get off that tram, I'm moving people out the way. I am running to catch. I've done it. Me and Sean. I've looked at Sean, and she said, okay, I got the bags. I can remember times when me and LaShawn and Kayla like 2 or 3 years old, us trying to go somewhere together and me saying, okay, I got Kayla. You get the bags. I got Kayla. Ready? She said, ready. We had to stretch a little bit because we about to run and we have run. And I don't know if you've ever been on a plane and see somebody get on a plane and they just dropped their baby. The baby hanging by one arm and they dropped the baby because they ran to catch the flight. My God, I know I'm talking to somebody this morning in here. I done picked up my bags. I done picked up my baby. I'm like, Lord, you about to take off. You not about to leave me. Lord, wait for me. My hands are full of a bunch of stuff that I'm carrying, but don't leave me. Don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave me, Jesus. That's James Cleveland. He said, don't leave me. Don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave. I think don't leave me, Jesus meant, Lord, I'm in a difficult place. Don't leave me. But what I'm saying is, no, Lord, I'm on my way. Lord, my connecting flight. Lord, I might have got here a little bit late, but don't leave me. Lord, it might have took me a little bit of time to wake up, but don't leave me. Lord, it might have took a little bit of time for you to get my attention, but Lord, don't leave me. Don't leave me, Jesus. Don't leave me. I want to catch the next flight because I got to get someplace, and I want to get there as fast as I can. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Somebody got to say, don't leave me. Lord, don't leave me. Don't leave me, Jesus. I'm running to catch that next flight. Oh, I got a witness in here with me this morning. That's this rich young man. He runs. He runs and he falls on his knees before Jesus. I love that song we sing. I'm chasing after you no matter what I've got to do. I need you. I'm running. How many of us are really running after God, though? Most of us don't even hardly. He runs. Not only does he run, but when he gets to Jesus, he immediately goes into a posture of worship. He immediately is on his knees. He immediately humbles himself. He immediately goes into worship. Half of us want to walk and then stand. We want to walk and then act like we're doing God some kind of favor. We came to church. We're thinking, I think I'll go to church today, and I think I'll do a good thing. And we act like we're doing God some kind of favor. Where's our desperation? Where's the running? Then when you get here, I got to beg you. We got to beg you to worship. We got to beg you to throw your hands up. We got to beg you to get on your knees. We got the worship team got to jump and holler and scream just to get you to worship. Where's your desperation? Where is the running and the kneeling? Where is the worship that comes out of the desperation of your situation? My God, love this passage. He runs, falls on his knees before Jesus and says, good teacher, master, he calls him. King James Version says, master. He calls him master. I've been asking the question, when are we going to call him master? When are we going to get ready for him just not to be savior and not just be friend and not just be waymaker and not just be door opener and not just be healer and not just be Santa? Can we say master? Good master. Good master. It was a term that meant somebody that taught well about God and the duties of man. This young man runs to Jesus, falls on his knees before him, and then asks a question. For most of us who do run, and for most of us who do fall on our knees, we do that because we need something. We need a miracle. We need a healing. We need a power. We need a breakthrough. That's why we run. We run to God when we need something. We run to God when we need a breakthrough. We run to God when we need a miracle. We run to, that's when we run to church. That's when we run to the conference. We run to the conference when tears are streaming down our faces because we need God to do something for us. That's when we run. He runs, falls on his knees, and asks him a question. His question is, what must I do? I throw it on the screens. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He's not saying, Lord, what you gonna do? See, when we run, we want to run somewhere for somebody to tell us what God gonna do. He doesn't say, what? He don't run, fall on his knees and say, Lord, what you gonna do to get me eternal life? That's the Christianity we want. We want it all to be on God, and we want the Lord to do all. We want his grace to be sufficient. We want his mercy and his grace. We want him to do it all. We want to run to Jesus. We want to walk to Jesus is what we want to do. Then we want to stand and kind of halfway worship, kind of praise a little bit if we like the song enough. And then we want somebody to tell us what God is going to do to get us for us to inherit eternal life. Imagine if he said, good teacher, what you going to do to guarantee me life? What you going to do? Tell me what God. That's when we get the most happy, is when we start talking about what God is going to do. But his question is, what's my part? Lord, wait. Good teacher, master, savior, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I got some stuff going, but I'm looking for a life I ain't seen yet, my Lord. I got some good stuff happening, but something's missing. I've come to the understanding that even with my money and even with my wealth and even with my position and even with my stuff and even with the things, something is missing. I need somebody to give me an answer. I need somebody to tell me, what must I do to get life like I don't have it right now? What must I do to inherit it? What must I do to be in line for it? What must I do to qualify for it? What must I do to get in the family so I can get this eternal life? Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. Do the commandments. Jesus says to him, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Is what Jesus said specifically. And I'll ask the Lord when I see him. I don't know why he said these specific ones. I don't know if he just didn't have time to say them all, but in my estimation, he laid out some of the ones that are the most difficult. He said, number one, don't kill nobody. Now, maybe I'm by myself, but I've been alive long enough to want to kill someone. Matter of fact, the only reason why they still living is because I'm too cute to go to jail, my God. And I've seen too many episodes of CSI. And I'm afraid I'm going to leave a carpet fiber somewhere because that's the only reason why they not dead. He said, number one, don't kill nobody. I'm sure everybody said, oh, my Lord, don't kill nobody. Jesus, good God, you done started off with a tough one. Number two, don't commit adultery. My Lord, I know don't nobody want to say me to say nothing about this, but I've been married a long time, and I love that girl. God knows I do. I love Harpo. God knows I do. I love that girl. God knows I do. But adultery is a temptation. Anybody that don't admit that is lying to you. He says, yeah, I want you to do your best to stay faithful to your wife. Good God, help her. I want you to do your best to stay faithful to your husband. I want you to honor the marriage vow. I want it to be important. I don't know about open marriages. I don't know if I just want you to just go get you some because you think you need some. I want you to get it from your wife. I want you to get it from your husband. I want you to take this thing seriously. I want adultery to be something that bothers you, My God, there's a word for America. I don't want to step any deeper because I don't want nobody mad at me, Jada. I'm sorry. I don't want nobody mad at me. But he's saying to all of us, men and women, can you just be married and keep it, please? Adultery. I'm the first one. I'll wave right at you. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Jesus said, anyone who has looked lustfully at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Well, there go Pastor Andy. There go Walt. There go Chris. There go Colin. Well, we all have sinned then because we done all seen some Halle Berry. Oh, my God. We done all seen some movies with somebody. We have all watched some stuff. Oh, yes, we have. I'll just move right on. Adultery. Number three, stealing. God help us. Stealing. Number four, lying. My God, lying. Sometimes lying is the only way, Pastor. Sometimes all you can do is lie. Sometimes, what you talking about, Jesus? Don't lie. I won't even be alive if I can't lie. My mama would have killed me if I didn't lie. Lie. No lying. No stealing, no defrauding, no cheating. What you mean no cheating? You mean you want me to be honest on my tax returns? You want me to report all my income? The devil is a liar. Honor your father and your mother. Do you know how crazy my mama is? Do you know how insane my daddy is? My daddy, Pastor Andy, wants to know where I am all the time. My daddy made me download an app called Life 360 so he can track my every movement. Honor my father. Walter is crazy. Andy is crazy. Honor crazy. Jesus said, yeah, I want you to keep the commandments. Specifically, I want you to try not to kill nobody. I want you to try to stay faithful to your wife, your husband. Good God. I want you to try not to steal. I want you to try not to lie. I want you to try not to cheat. I want you to honor them crazy parents of yours. They from a whole different generation. They think they know what they're talking about. You trying to tell them about streaming, and they're shaking a VHS tape at you. This is the best way to watch a movie. And you like, if you don't get out of here with that VCR, no, you got to pull the tab off. You want me to honor a generation that don't know what they talking about. Lord God, that's tough. Then the young man says, I done kept all of that. I've kept those. I don't know about all the commandments, but those right there, I've kept those since I was a boy. Right there, he leaves a whole lot of us. he leaves a whole lot of us. A lot of us was raised with these commandments, but we didn't keep them. We broke them for a while and came back to Jesus, but we didn't keep them. All these I've kept since I was a boy. The word says Jesus looked at him and loved him. I almost don't even know what to do with that. I don't know if Jesus was just speaking out loud to everybody. I don't know if he was barely paying attention. I don't know what made him look, give this guy his attention. The word says he loved him. I don't even know how the writer knows that Jesus loved him. I don't know if Jesus said, man, I love this dude. I don't know if they could just tell. I don't know if they spent enough time with Jesus to know, man, Jesus loved that dude. I don't know, but that love made Jesus tell him the truth. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. I've spoken on this before. I'm not going to re-preach it, but I'm sorry. One thing you lack, that is an awesome phrase and a scary phrase to me. You trying to tell me I'm one thing away? What if I told you, you are one thing away? You are one thing away from your breakthrough. You are one thing away from your deliverance. You are one thing away from the very thing you've been. You are one thing. You only missing one thing. You are, really, honestly, you are so close. Part of the reason why all hell is broke loose is because you are so close. You are just one peace away. What? You only let one thing. Sounds like it'd be awesome to hear. And I'd love to hear the Lord say, yeah, Andy, you only need one thing. But the 50-year-old Andy wants to say, yeah, but what is that one thing? And how long have I been one thing away? And what if the one thing is the deal breaker? Because in this story, the one thing was the deal breaker. Jesus said, one thing you lack, and that one thing is that your stuff is too important to you. Stuff is too important. You're putting too much of a priority on things, my God. You don't put too much of a priority on what you got. You don't put too much of a priority on stuff. Matter of fact, you've got, it's not just that you've got that stuff got you. You got stuff out of priority. You need to put the kingdom above that. Matter of fact, you know what? Go sell everything you have and give it away and come follow me and put the kingdom first for a bit just to help you get stuff back into perspective. Now, I'm not interested in you being poor or broke. I'm just saying with you, your specific situation is you have put such an emphasis on stuff that it has blinded you to what God really has for you, and your stuff is too important to you. I want you. His one thing was the deal breaker. And the word says he went away sad because he had great wealth. That's phase one. That brings us to phase two of the story. Phase two of the passage is Jesus goes to teaching everybody, including us. And Jesus makes a statement that is amazing to his disciples. He amazes them with his statement. And his statement is how hard it is to get into the kingdom. It's not something we hear a whole lot. We done thrown the doors so wide open that we just want everybody to think it's easy. But Jesus said to his disciples, man, I tell you, it's hard for the rich to get into the kingdom. The disciples are amazed. His next statement is, oh, did that shock you? First of all, it ain't easy to get into the kingdom, period. How hard it is to get into the kingdom of God, period. Whoever's telling you it's easy hasn't told you the whole truth. It's easy, but it's challenging. It's free, but it's going to cost you something. How hard it is. Y'all know, wait. How hard it is for the rich to get into the kingdom of God. They're shocked. They're amazed. There must have been gasps. And Jesus didn't even try to fix it to hold on to his congregation. He said, oh, does that shock y'all? Listen up, everybody. Stop acting like getting in the kingdom is easy. How hard it is to get into the kingdom, period. It's not easy. They're amazed. Jesus goes on to say, it's hard to get in. And for the rich to get in, he said, my God, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to get into the kingdom. Now, there's all kinds of theological discussions around what that phrasing means. Some theologians say that the word there for camel is better translated cable or rope. And so, really, it's the idea of it being a camel through the eye of a needle, and that Jesus is saying it'd be easier for you to pass a rope for shipping through the eye of a needle is what some theologians say. There are other theologians that say, oh, no, they were talking about a gate. There's a gate that goes into Jerusalem that once the main gate is closed at night, now if a traveler's coming in and trying to get in, they've got to go through this gate called the eye of the needle. And for a camel to get through it, the camel, you got to take some of the stuff off the camel. Yeah, you're going to have to unload some stuff off the camel because the main gate's closed. And so to get the camel through, you're going to have to take some stuff off of the camel, and the camel is going to have to get on his knees to get through that gate. However you want to take it, Jesus's point, his point is that it's hard but not impossible. It's hard but not impossible. Very interesting. This phrase that it's impossible with man. With man, it's impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. That phrase is probably one of the most famous phrases in the Bible. It has inspired so many songs and so much music, and we barely use it in the context in which Jesus said it, because Jesus is talking about getting into the kingdom. Jesus is talking about being a kingdom somebody. He's talking about not just being a church person. He's talking about being a kingdom person. He's not just talking about somebody who believes in God. Oh, I believe in God. No, he's talking about getting into the kingdom. He says how hard it is to get into the kingdom. They say, my God, Lord, the disciples say, God, well, Lord, who then can be saved? Probably the reason why some of them asked that is because they had money. So they're like, well, Lord, golly, if it's hard for the rich to get in, then who can be saved then? And that makes the Lord say, well, don't worry, you got me. Don't worry, I'm on your side. This is why you need me. Don't worry. Yeah, I get it. It's impossible. If you was by yourself, it'd be impossible. But as long as you got the Lord on your side, stuff that would be impossible becomes possible. And I know that's a word for somebody. Stuff that looks impossible becomes absolutely possible when God in it. Even getting into the kingdom. Then we get to phase three, which is my point today. And I got 10 minutes left about, and I'm just getting to my point. But that's all right. It's been good anyhow. Phase three starts in verse 28, where Peter spoke up and said, we have left everything to follow you. Peter says, now, wait, hold up. Time out. First of all, that's a lot because it's tough for the rich to get in. And I had something because I had boats. Boats were not common. I had a shipping business. I had a fishing business. Peter's saying, I done left stuff. Matthew was a tax collector. My brothers was working with Andrew and them. We all are fishermen. We all are businessmen. We all own our own business. We all got money. And you know what? While we're talking about this, speaking of this dude who ran up on us, you do realize that we have left everything to follow you. Jesus says in verse 29, yeah, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, field, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. This is what they owe us. This is what they owe us. What they owe us. Right now in this particular moment, what they owe us. What we left. And for us, for black people, it's not even what we left. It's what we were taken for. We were taken for the gospel. We were taught Christianity because we were supposedly heathens, and supposedly we were pagans, and slavery was supposed to be for our good, for the gospel's sake. America was built in faith in God, and the founding fathers and the pioneers came here and killed the Indians, killed the Native Americans, enslaved us, and brought us here for the sake of Christ. For the sake of the gospel. America wants to be a Christian nation. White evangelicals want us to be a Christian nation. And they want us to be all right about the fact that what they did to us for 400 years was at the behest of the Bible, at the behest of the gospel. You can't find a white supremacist that don't quote scripture. They, for Jesus is what they did it for. So my contention is that if anybody has left homes, if anybody left fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and children for the sake of the gospel, shoot, left, worse, taken, was stolen, was subjugated for the gospel's sake. And the challenge is, we're not going to get it back from them. They have made it clear that they are not interested in giving back to us what they stole from us. What we gonna have to do is look to God. Jesus said, that's all right, because anybody who was robbed of homes, anybody that was robbed of brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, and as a matter of fact, the thing that's interesting, Walt, is that he says, anybody who left home and left brothers or sisters, mothers or fathers or children, for my sake, for the gospel, a hundred times I'll return homes, mothers, brothers, sisters, mothers, children. He don't put fathers in there because he going to be our father. My God. He's like, look, I can't necessarily restore your name to you. I can't necessarily restore your fatherhood to you. They robbed you of your culture. They robbed you of your name. They gave you another name, but that's all right. I'll be your father. I'll be your father. The Lord is saying, that's all right. They owe us. Yeah, what they owe us, but we're not going to get it from them. And we need to stop trying to get it from them. If we do get it from them, it's going to be because God makes it happen. And they are just the conduit through which God gives us back what was stolen from us. And what I want us to do is start crying out to God for this stuff. I want us to say, all right, Lord, well, you promised, you said that anybody who gave this stuff up for the gospel 100 times, they will receive this because this is what they owe us. We need to stop making this appeal to Congress and make this appeal to God. We've made it. How many congressional hearings do we need? I'm so glad that they had George Floyd's brother appear before Congress, but why does Congress need to hear from his brother when all they got to do is look at the tape? What? Why do we have to keep acting like somehow they are our source? They're not our source. Black people, black Christians, they're not our source. They're not our source. We're going to have to get this from God. What they owe us, God will have to give us. Jesus tells us right here what they owe us, and what they owe us, we have to get from God. Matter of fact, Jesus says, you're going to get it 100 times, my Lord. You'll get it 100-fold if you can just ask me. If you can get your focus off of white people and just ask me. If you can get your focus off of white evangelical Christians and just get your focus. If you can stop looking at them. If you can stop letting Rod Parsley tell you how you feel about. If you can stop letting white preachers tell you how you feel about yourself. If you can get over it. If you can stop trying to gain their approval. If you could ever get yourself, if you could ever find your self-esteem again, if you could ever decide who you are, if you could ever stop feeling good about dancing on their stage, if you could ever get some kind of sense of yourself, you'd ask me. Lord say, yeah, of course they owe you. Of course, reparations. Of course they owe us. Of course. What happened to the 40 acres and a mule? Of course they owe us. Slave owners got reparations. $350 for every slave they let go. Slaves got nothing. Of course they owe us. But my point is I think we got to stop. We won't be so angry. Hey, if I seem angry, I am. But we won't be so angry if we stop asking them. We got to get on our knees. We got to run up to Christ. We got to throw ourselves at the feet of the Lord. We got to say, what must I do to be saved? We got to find our moral strength. We got to get down to the bottom of who we are as a people. We have to realize that we are God's chosen people. We have to realize nobody prays like us. Nobody worship like us. Nobody preach like us. Nobody write song like us. Nobody gift like us. Nobody got anointing on them like us. We have to realize that who we gonna get this stuff from is the Lord. What they owe us, we're going to have to get it from God. Jesus said what they owe us. Number one, they owe us homes. Oh, come on. They owe us homes because the real problem of black people is property. That's the real challenge of black people is property and the value of property. That's number one. We could be mad at Candace Owens, and we could be mad at everybody, and we could be upset about All Lives Matter, and we could be upset about the white supremacist agenda, and we could be upset about white supremacy in the faith movement, and we could be upset about the fact that they don't acknowledge us. But the real problem is that our home values are not what they ought to be. We got to own our own stuff. We got to own our own homes a hundredfold. We got to believe God for this hundredfold blessing of our own house, our own home that we own. That's what they owe us. They stole us from our home. They owe us a home. We're not going to get that from them. We have to ask God. God, give us a home. Homes. Jesus said, number one, homes. Number two, he said, brothers, sisters, mothers, children. Second thing they owe us, family. My God, they owe us family. All they did was break up our families. All they did was sell us off from one another. All they did was make us wear one another loosely. All they did was make us have to barely care about one another because we may never see each other again. All they ever did to us was split us up. All they ever did to us was make us turn on one another. All they did was make the light-skinned ones feel different about the brown ones. All they did was divide us. All they did was make us hate our own selves and hate our own brothers and hate our own sisters. That's all they did was make us hate one another. All they did was make us not trust one another. If they owe us anything, they owe us family, but we're not going to get family from them. We got to get family from us. We got to get family from God, because the real challenge of black people is family. Single mama rate amongst black people is in the 70s percentile, depending on who you look at, 73%, 74%, 75%. In the 1960s, that number was in the 20s, and that was high. So that means in a 40-year span, we have gone from 20% of our children being raised in homes with single mamas to 75% of our children being home, raised in home without fathers. Family, we're going to have to ask God for that. We're going to have to get God to do that. That is something we're going to need from the Lord. And I'm sorry, there has never been a time like this one. There has never been a time in which black people have fought for their women to be devalued. We're the only culture that is fighting for our women to be devalued. We're the only ones who see women being loose sexually as them being empowered. Never been a culture like us before. We've been duped. We've been tricked. We've been fooled. We are fools. What we need some couples that can stand up there and do the right thing. But no, we want to defend, because we want, somehow they've made us argue for our women to be freaks and be empowered by being freaks. It's insane. It is insane. And we have to wake up. We've always been a powerful people. We have always been a people who were the foundation of civilization. We always were a people that valued our women, because you can't, if you don't value your women, then you don't value the family, and you don't value the community, and you don't value the culture, because women are the ones who carry the family and the community and the cultural value. And we have to stop this, gentlemen. We have to stop allowing our women to be used. We have to stop being entertained by the devaluing and the hoification of our women. They took family from us. And they are selling us on an idea like it's all right for us to be buck wild and out of control. Because that's who we are anyway. Because we're from the jungle. No, we're not. That's not who we are. We are descendants of kings. But somehow they have told us that we are animals now. And they have robbed us of family. And we are running around like dogs and barking and hooting and tapping and twittering and tendering. And we have lost our whole moral fiber. And no culture has ever done that like us because we have been tricked. We have been fooled. We have been told to believe that that is empowering. I'm so sorry, my sister. That is not empowering. You will never tell me that you are empowered because you slept with 8 men last week. You will never tell me that. Never. I will never go along with you on that one. I will never believe it. You can write me all the letters you want, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. I will never agree with it. I will never agree that black women should have no chastity and no sense of self and no value of their body and no sense of who they are and no empowerment to keep themselves. I will never agree with that, never. Not only will I not agree with it because it's not in the Bible, but I will not agree with it because it makes no sense. It does not lead to the empowering of a people. They owe us family. And number three, they owe us land, because the real challenge, I know I've been saying the real challenge every time, but the real challenge of black people is land, is permanence, is property. Why would we burn down our own communities? That's the thing. We're not burning down our own communities. We don't own enough to be worried about starting fires and riots. That's the problem. The problem is that we don't own enough. Be mad at who's president. We be mad at white women. We're mad at them all we want. But what we've got to do is we've got to turn our eyes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Black Christians going to have to go to a whole nother level. We're going to need something else. Christianity is not enough. We're going to need some kind of black Christianity. We're going to need something else besides just what they're trying to pawn off on us and what they have sold us on. We're not going to be able to just buy what they sold us on because that's what they used to enslave us. We're going to need something else. We're going to need a different kind of focus. We're going to need a different kind of power. Well, we're going to need a different kind of Christian. We're going to need Jesus at another kind of level because we are the victims of hundreds of years of robbery. We're going to need a whole nother kind of deliverer. Oh, I wish I had one. We are going to need a whole nother kind of God. We are going to need a whole nother kind of gospel. And I'm sorry, no white man going to be able to preach it to you. So sorry. Hate to hurt your feelings. It's not going to happen. It ain't going to work. It's not going to take place. You will forever be behind. You will never get the kind of gospel you need as a black Christian from a white preacher. No, you will not. Because what black people need in America anyway is we need God at a whole nother kind of level. It's what they owe us. But what they owe us, we're going to have to get that from God. We're going to have to run. We're going to have to throw ourselves on our knees. We're going to have to, how many of us got to be choked in the street before we ask God for help? How many of us got to be killed in front of, how many Breonna Taylors do we need before we say, God, what are you saying to us? I appreciate the legal battle, but at some point, we're going to have to get saved. We're going to have to call on God. We're going to have to look to him. We're going to have to trust him. Man will let us down every time. Every time. The only way we're going to get what they owe us is God going to have to get us what they owe us. The Lord said, that's all right. I'll restore what the worm took away. My God, that's okay. The thief comes not but for to kill and steal and destroy. But that's all right, black people. I have come that you may have life and that more abundantly. That's okay. I came to make the crooked straight. I came to make the rough places plain. I came so that the last will be first and the first will be last. For all of you that feel like you the last, that's all right. God got a way of doing things. And I like the way he do what he do. God, I hope I can preach this sermon this good the next time. God got a way of doing things. He takes the lowly and he raises them up. And although a few of us have made it and some of us got it, and I'm one of them. I done made it, and I'll own some land and I own some property and I got a nice house. Hallelujah. The Lord has blessed me. I've made some wise investments in but still, if you look at all of us collectively as a people, no, Walter, we got a long way to go, bro. We got a long, as a people, we are at the bottom. As a people, we are the lowest. As a people, we are a consistent, permanent underclass in this country. As a people, we are still enslaved. We're not free yet. Not as a people. We're not free till all of us are free. Right now, we got to look to God, my Lord. We are going to have to call on him. And we're going to have to put on sackcloth and ashes, Chris. We're going to have to turn our plates down. We're going to have to call a solemn assembly. We're going to have to weep before the porch and the altar, but we have to figure out, Lord, what is it that we are doing that you would allow us to be meat to these Babylonians like this? Lord, we look to you. You're where our help comes from. We can't look to the hills from whence cometh our help. My help, our help, my help, all of our help comes from the Lord. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord. I haven't said that in a long time. Somebody heard a word from the Lord. And come on, let's give to the work of the kingdom of God. I know what they owe us. Let's give to the work of the kingdom. Let's give in faith. I've been asking for a second offering in both services, especially this 9:30 group. More people watch 9:30 than ever, than anybody. And more are watching than ever. But I need you to give again to the work of the kingdom of God. And I've been asking you to sow into the word that you heard. I can give you all kinds of reasons to give, and I had a conversation on Friday with planners and architects and developers and all of it for this World Overcomers land project. I haven't even been able to, I'm trying to get some kind of drawings or something to show everybody so I can say where we're going, at least here in RTP, because we got somewhere to go. And I'm not talking about that yet. Right now, I'm just trying to get you to sow on the word. I'm trying to get you to say, man, that was a word, and I got to sow. I got to text Woe Online to 77977, and I got to give in faith, believing that God can make a way where there is no way. I don't know about you, but as an African-American, as a black man, as a black Christian, sometimes I just throw my hands up in the air. I'm like, Lord, Lord, we in this thing so deep. Lord, it's going to take you. God, I look to you. You're where my help. Lord, it's going to take something. We can hardly agree. We can hardly come together. We can't. Lord, you're going to have to help us. I'm trying to preach a message of faith in Christ, not just for everybody, but especially for black Christians. I want you to sow in faith on that word. I want you to sow in faith and believe we can have homes and we can have property and we can have family. I want us to sow in faith believing that we can turn that 75 number back down to less than 10%. My God, that may be what it is now. If it went from 23% to 74% in 40 years, then it can go from 74% in down to less than 10% in less. Believe God. Let's ask God for a miracle. It's going to take a miracle. And I'm looking for a miracle. I want you to sow in faith on the word that you heard today. I've been asking for at least $50, but for some of us, 50 is nothing. I want you to give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. I want you to be motivated by faith. And I know it's 10:50. I say this every Sunday. I done gone over, but it's all right. We don't have to transition everybody in and out. And I know somebody heard a word from the Lord today. And I heard a word because I said stuff I did not plan on saying. But I'm excited that you were with us. I want you to give to the work of the kingdom of God. Text WOE online, 77977. If you've never done it before, PushPay will pop up. A one-time registration, you'll be able to give through PushPay from now on. Let's give to the work of the kingdom of God. Let's continue to be faithful. And we got work to do. World Overcomers, at this point now, World Overcomers membership is worldwide. It's not even in Raleigh-Durham no more. It is worldwide. I got a message from somebody, a young woman that's watching, and she just was like, oh, my God, I watch every Sunday, and I watch from. She's like, I live in Milwaukee. And she's just like, I just wish I could be a member. And her grandmother lives in Raleigh, and she said, and my grandmama told me about the church, and I've just been streaming, and I just can't wait till I can come up there again and just at least visit the church. I just wish I could be a member. And I direct messaged her back, and I said, listen, sweetheart, you are able to attend World Overcomers as much as anybody. People who live around the corner can't come. So basically, at this point, you are a member. Welcome to World Overcomers. It's much, much bigger than Raleigh and Durham at this point. For anyone watching, wherever you may be, if you're sitting there watching, oh, my God, love the worship and the word and all of it, I just wish I could be a member. You absolutely can be a member. It's not hard at all. You can be a member. Wherever you may be, we are the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ. And you can be a member of World Overcomers if you're watching from Virginia, if you're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, my God, if you're in Nebraska, if you're in wherever you may be, if you're in Africa, you're in China, wherever you're watching from through your device, welcome to World Overcomers. It's easy to become a member. And all you have to do is just text member in the comment, and somebody will start telling you exactly what you need to do to be a member. It's not hard at all. We're going to make it all easy for you. We're going to put new members classes on it. We have to do all of it. We are right now working on new members, foundations, everything got to be virtual. God only knows when we're going to be able to meet together again. So wherever you may be, you're able to join with us. Welcome to World Overcomers. I sent her a text. I said, welcome to World Overcomers. She sent me a text back with tears. Thank you. That's right. Welcome to World Overcomers. Because if there's you're hearing a word like this, you've got to sow into this word. Young man sent me a message, and he said, I've never heard anybody preach a word like the message that you're sharing. Oh, my God. If I could, I would move. I said, it's okay. You don't have to move. Yeah. If you feel that strongly, maybe God is calling you to move. But you don't have to move. All you got, you are able to attend like anybody's able to. There's a few folk in here that have snuck in here today because they elders, they got a password. But they got a key fob. They done broke in. Some of them are from New York, so they know how to break in places. But everybody else is watching from around the world. You are able to join with us, and you'll be able to be a part of everything that we do. Oh, hallelujah. I'm believing that this time right now, I've got this vision. I got this crazy vision in which we end up with 1,000 members from Virginia and 1,000 members from South Carolina and 1,000 members from Chicago and 1,000 members from Philadelphia and 1,000 members from New York and 1,000 members. And then when we're able to come back together again, we'll just have New York month. Can you imagine that? And 1,000 will come up here and stay in North Carolina and get to be here in person. That is where we're going. We are not going back. Beloved, we are not going back. Awesome as this room is, and I believe we will jam it out again, but this room has got to be a tithe of what God is calling for us to do. And you have got to share this message with the world, particularly Black Christians. I want you to give. Text one online to 77977. Come on, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have to praise you and honor you and bless you. God, we honor you with our lives. We honor you with our praise. We honor you with our wealth, with our tithes, with our offerings. Lord, we still got stuff working. We still got businesses happening. Some of us are still getting promotions. Some of us are still buying houses. Some of us are still buying cars. God, you are keeping us. And so, God, we have to return. We have to give. We have to honor you. You're the one who has given us this ability to create wealth. And you're confirming your covenant with us. And so, God, take this offering and multiply it supernaturally. God, I thank you that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So, Lord, may this wicked wealth, God, may it be laid up for us. Lord, may we have access to it. And God, break the door open for us. Give us favor, and we'll praise you for what you do and what you say. God, you're worthy in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. God bless you as you give. So glad you were with us today. It is 10:57. We got a service that's starting in 30 minutes. Hallelujah, 11:30. And you don't want to miss that worship service. If you missed any of this service in any of its entirety, just peek back in on us in 30 minutes. We're going to worship the Lord together. I'm going to preach this message again. I don't know how it's going to come out in the second service. And I'm not going to have no tie on, I'll tell you that much, because it's hot up here. But I'm going to share a word with you, and we're going to worship together. Please share this link. Let somebody know. They got to hear a word from the Lord. If we ever needed to hear a word from him before, it's now. And then Wednesday nights, we're here 7 to 8:30, 8:45, really. See, we in here, we worship the Lord. We just be praising him. We get caught up in the worship. And then I'm sharing a word with you. I've been sharing on a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so you want to be back with us on Wednesday night, but we're glad you're with us. And we trust you sense his presence. It's so awesome. And come on, let's pray one more time. God, thank you for our time together. Thank you for this service. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the word. Thank you for uniting us together. Thank you for Christianity. Thank you for Christians around the world. Thank you, God, particularly in this moment, we pray for all of us together. And then, God, I pray for us. I pray, God, for this group, this body, this number, these people. God, I pray that you would set the captives free. Dismiss us from this place. Watch over us till we're able to meet again. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. See you next time.